You're listening to This Week in Cardiology from theheart.org on Medscape.
Hi, everyone. This is John Mandrola from theheart.org on Medscape. This is This Week in Cardiology for December 4th, 2015. This week, I'm going to talk about rivaroxaban and GI bleeding, coronary CT angio use in the emergency department, long-term results of COURAGE, bioprosthetic valve thrombosis, and patient satisfaction with EMR. First up is rivaroxaban and GI bleeding. This was a sub-study of ROCKET AFib trial, and the investigators were specifically interested in the GI bleeding rates on patients who actually got the drug rivaroxaban. So this is the on-treatment analysis of GI bleeding. And they found, yes, indeed, patients, rivaroxaban-treated patients had a higher incidence of GI bleeding than warfarin. However, major bleeds and fatal bleeds were not significantly different. The more important finding, and the reason why I lead with this study, is that when the investigators did a multivariate analysis to find predictors of the GI bleeding, they found that it was not the HAS-BLED score, the CHADS-VASc score, but specific modifiable risk factors like anemia at baseline, history of GI bleeding previously, and the use of aspirin and antiplatelet drugs. And that's the key thing here, I think, is that we really need to address these modifiable risk factors when we use direct-acting oral anticoagulants. And specifically, I mean the use of both aspirin and antiplatelet drugs and anticoagulants together. Aspirin and antiplatelet drugs are the number one drug that I de-prescribe, and that setting is usually the patient's already on an anticoagulant drug. Next up, coronary CT angiography in the emergency department. Now, previous studies have shown that coronary CT angio may be useful for decision-making in patients with suspected acute coronary syndrome who present to the ER. But it may be less useful when standard care involves the high-sensitivity troponin assay. Now, this was the BEACON study. It was presented at AHA. It was a group from the Netherlands, and they were interested in studying two ways to approach patients with suspected ACS. One way is that a group got coronary CT angio, and the other got standard care. And of course, in the Netherlands, standard care includes the high-sensitivity troponin. We don't have it here in the U.S. And when they looked at the two groups, they found that there was no difference in the detection of significant coronary artery disease. Their surrogate marker for significant coronary artery disease was revascularization at 30 days. And it's not a perfect surrogate, but it's not bad. 9% of the patients in the coronary CT angio had significant had revascularization at 30 days versus 7% in the standard care. That was no significant difference. They also found no significant difference in the time spent in the ED. Now, the only positive finding with the coronary CT angio group was that there was less downstream testing. And that's really leads me to the whole acute coronary syndrome workup, the chest pain workup. I think we're on the brink of seeing changes. Right now, our compensation model, our reimbursement model is do more tests, more tests, more reimbursement. But when bundled payments come, I mean, we're going to have to figure out the most efficient way to take care of and triage these patients. CT angiography may be very useful, but it may be really a tougher compare when we get high-sensitivity troponin assays here in the U.S. We'll see. Next up is the long-term results of the COURAGE trial. Now, an extended follow-up of COURAGE out to 11.9 years showed no late benefit in survival with PCI compared to optimal medical therapy in patients with stable coronary artery disease. Now, everyone knows the COURAGE trial shocked the interventional community. I mean, how could it be that putting stents in didn't offer patients an advantage? How could it be? But it wasn't. The COURAGE trial was clear. There was no benefit to putting stents in, no survival benefit, in patients with stable CAD. Now, there was a small benefit in angina symptoms, but even that diminished with time. So this was a long-term analysis. It was done because there were some still lingering thoughts that maybe there was going to be late benefit to PCI. But this trial included 1,200 patients, 53% of the original COURAGE cohort, and the survival was nearly identical. They even looked at subgroups, older patients, patients with more significant CAD, all kinds of subgroups. Again, no subgroup that could they find any benefit to PCI over medical therapy. I've said a lot about this, so I'm just going to leave it at this. The results are clear and consistent. No survival benefit doing PCI in patients with CAD that is stable. Let's talk about bioprosthetic valve thrombosis. There's more news about this, and this most recent study was a group at Mayo Clinic, and they were looking at the clinical and echo characteristics of thrombosed angiogenerated bioprosthetic valves that were removed at their institution from 1997 to 2013. Now, they found some interesting findings. First was that the bioprosthetic valve thrombosis occurs earlier than valve degeneration. Thrombosis at 24 months, valve degeneration way out more than 100 months. Bioprosthetic valve thrombosis is more common than previously reported. And when they looked at their data, they found three echo characteristics that predicted bioprosthetic valve thrombosis with pretty good sensitivity and specificity. So these three things were an increase in the gradient over 50% at baseline, increased cusp thickness, and abnormal cusp mobility. Now, this is a different sort of study than the Portico IDE study that got so much attention a few weeks ago. And this study from Mayo Clinic looked at patients who presented with actual symptoms and had valve failure. But in a New England Journal study, remember that these were asymptomatic patients who had thrombosis detected by high-resolution 4D CT scans. But taken together, there's a theme here. The theme is perhaps that we should reconsider this whole idea that anticoagulation is not needed in bioprosthetic valves. At least it seems like a fertile area for clinical trials. Finally, let's talk about EMR in the exam room. This was a research letter that was published in JAMA Internal Medicine. It confirms the obvious. Patients want their doctors to look at them, not the computer screen. Researchers from the UCSF, which is a safety net hospital, queried patients before and after an exam. They also videotaped the interview. Their main finding was that the perceptions of care from the patient's perspective was that it really decreased with more physician computer use. But that wasn't the most interesting finding. To me, I was struck by the association of computer use with lower scores of what, quote, rapport building behaviors. Well, take a look at this story. I think we all know that the current digital arrangement in healthcare is really dehumanizing. But here's pretty clear evidence that it is. And it's weird. Everywhere else in the world, technology seems to help us. We love technology. But in healthcare, it's just an utter debacle. It's just terrible. I don't use a computer in the exam room, but I might have to change that. Pretty soon at our hospital, we're going to be getting the Epic system. And I'm told that there's a lot of clicks, and I'm going to try and resist the urge to use the computer in the exam room, but I'm not sure I will be able. So that's it for this week in cardiology. Until next week, this is John Mandrola with Heart.org on Medscape.
You're listening to This Week in Cardiology from the Heart.org on Medscape.